From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Rachel Myra. Google has unveiled the first 10 teams registered to compete in the Google Lunar XPRIZE competition. The contest requires contenders come up with millions of dollars in capital, then create and launch an unmanned spaceship capable of sending back photos and videos after exploring at least 547 yards on the moon. The prize, $20 million. The Judicial Council's Domestic Violence Task Force meets today in San Francisco to consider 139 proposals for reform in California. The recommendations aim to make the legal process faster and safer for victims of domestic abuse. Retired Justice Lawrence Kay chairs the task force.
You can't be too careful with these cases because of the dangers involved, and there are people dying out there. It's an epidemic.
In 2005, more than 400 women in California died as homicide victims, 39% of them as a result of domestic violence. Some of the reforms on the docket today, streamlining the process of getting restraining orders against abusers, making sure battery suspects give up firearms in their possession, and better securing courthouses so they don't become crime scenes. Half Moon Bay is a beautiful town. That much is indisputable, especially while watching surfers bob in the waves off the beach. It's a short drive from here to San Jose or San Francisco, but real estate developers somehow missed the bedroom community potential of this place until fairly recently. And then the land use arguments began, pitting pro-growth, slow-growth, and no-growth camps against each other. It's a common story all along the California coast. Driving down Highway 1, you can still see working farms here, along with 24 acres of lumpy grassland at the heart of one of the most bitter land use disputes in Half Moon Bay history. Housing developments sit on either side. Looking over a spray of mustard and sourgrass flowers, Mayor Bonnie McClung looks a little bewildered.
The property is somewhat unremarkable, I think, in its look, but it does have... A pretty typical coastal look for the property around here.
By most accounts, a leaky city sewer project began to trap runoff here back in the 1980s. A trust owned by a Palo Alto developer bought the land in 1993 with plans to develop. But by the end of the decade, wetlands had sprung up across the property. That squelched his bid to build 83 homes on the site, because of the federal laws that govern wetlands, man-made or not. The city argued it was up to the trust to do something about the water before wetlands developed. A judge disagreed and found Half Moon Bay liable for what the trust figures the land would be worth with 83 homes on it. That is to say, $37 million, $41 million, including interest and proposed attorney's fees.
You know, $41 million is impossible. The city doesn't have $41 million in assets. I don't think that any court wants to break a city and have a city go out of existence, or even bankrupt a city.
Lawyers on both sides agree it won't come to that, despite early fears when the ruling first came down in November. Attorney John Knox is with Orrick, Harrington & Sutcliffe, a San Francisco firm big enough to offer Half Moon Bay an array of specialists in litigation, insolvency, and municipal finance.
There are limitations under California law on what you can do to collect a judgment against a government entity that are different from what you can do to collect against an individual or a corporation. For example, you cannot attach property, so you can't get a lien on City Hall.
If the developer prevails in the case, he's looking at a series of smaller checks spread out over some period of time. City attorneys argue Half Moon Bay still has a good chance of getting the November decision reversed, but the developer's attorney, Edward Berg, doubts it.
This was an egregious situation. The government caused the damage to the private property, as opposed to simply passing laws that would limit the ability to use the property.
Even as Half Moon Bay seeks relief in court, the city's also entered into settlement talks with the trust. That worries some environmentalists who fear coastal developers across California will smell blood in the water and threaten small cities with lawsuits when they try to restrict development on environmental grounds. Kevin Lansing is a former planning commissioner for Half Moon Bay.
You know, many times it's costly to stand up for what's right, and this is one of those times. And I really hope that the city council has the resolve to defend the city's interests in the long run here.
Lawyers on both sides of this case argue it's far too peculiar to inspire copycat lawsuits. But the size of the judgment, given that the city's annual budget is all of $10 million, worries Peter Douglas, executive director of the Coastal Commission.
It's a case with a complex, convoluted litigation history and a bizarre outcome, a bizarre federal court decision that makes no sense.
This being a coastal dispute, the Coastal Commission has also been tied up with the city, the trust, and the courts for years over this property. Douglas says Judge Vaughn Walker's ruling ignored a number of salient facts. For example, the developer did get permission to build 19 homes instead of 83.
Local government acts in many ways that affect the value of property. Some actions diminish the value. Some actions increase the value. That's the nature of the world we live in. I think the compensation requirement comes into play only if, by government action, you preclude the property owner from any economically viable use. But that's not the case here.
Lawyers for the city made their final pitch to Judge Walker yesterday. If they can't sway him, Half Moon Bay is likely to appeal. And finally today, neighborhoods around California are worried about blight as a bunch of for sale signs go up and stay up. Looking for creative ways to tackle the subprime mortgage market meltdown, the San Diego City-County Reinvestment Task Force has launched a study group to consider a land bank. It would collect grant money, then purchase foreclosed properties for preservation as affordable housing. It's been done before in other parts of the country. One of the most prominent examples can be found in Genesee County, home of Flint in Michigan. That's the California Report for Friday, February 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering from Howard Gilman and Seal Muller. Susie Racho and Rory Gallagher directed the show this week. Our interns are June Stinson, Ali Tabatabai, and Leanne Lucetta. The editor this week was Dan Brecky. Our senior editor is Pat Flynn. The producers are Victoria Melione and Erica Kelly. Ingrid Becker is the senior producer. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Teachers Association, because every child deserves a chance to learn, and no child succeeds alone. More information is available at cta.org. And the Wesley Foundation, for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.